We just pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and minds to hear you. Amen. Yeah, this time next week, I'll have taken three services, two at Warren Hill and one at Hosley Bay for the first time with my colleague, Alison, who's been the volunteer chaplain all through the pandemic and has just done amazing stuff. So, yeah, I'll she'll be happy to be supporting her and probably playing and preaching. But hello again to you all here and on screen. It's so lovely to be with you in person and online. I just want to say, give lots of love from Alice. She was hoping to be here this morning, but she's got to go and walk a dog. She's paid to walk somebody's dog, so she'd really love to have been here. So maybe next week. Thank you for asking me to come and speak to you again, gluttons for punishment, and for giving me such a wonderful story to consider. As most of you, well, you are now aware after my little chat with Johnny that I've been on quite a journey. And this is part of your series on journeys that you've had over the summer. Throughout August, I think you've looked at things like leaving home, being delayed, arriving, and various other travel stories in scripture. But today I've been asked to look at this story of the blind man, Bartimaeus, who was healed by Jesus towards the end of Jesus' ministry. It's one of a number of stories that we read of Jesus healing people with different kinds of infirmities. But this, for me, has been a very specific healing story and has some very interesting elements to it that are worth having a look at. To start with, it's a story that is repeated in each of the synoptic gospels. So that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's repeated almost word for word in each of those writings. Apart from Matthew, who has two blind men, and I've discovered that apparently Matthew does that, it doubles up everything. That's something he does a lot. The stories all include the same element. The blind man shouting out, the crowd trying to shut him up, Jesus calling him over and asking him what he wants him to do, getting the same reply from the man, and then Jesus heals him. And the man then follows Jesus. Beautifully told, beautifully constructed story, and is evidently very important in the scheme of what each of these apostles are trying to convey. There are many elements we could pick out of the story, but what I do want to focus on today is this idea of sight to the blind. And the subtitle of my talk that I was given was The Sights. So I'm imagining holiday journeys, delays, arrivals, and then you get out and you see the sights. Would that be the thinking behind that? Yes, yes. I called it an idea. And you might say, well, it's not an idea. Actually, it's more than an idea in this story, isn't it? Jesus does actually heal a man who's blind, who can't see. He's had to beg for his living all his life. And on this very special day, he puts his trust in one man who instantly changes his life forever. And he leaves his former life behind him and follows Jesus. If we believe the biblical writers, then this actually physically happened. So surely it's much more than an idea, isn't it? But Jesus physically healed many people, and we don't hear all their stories, do we? Certainly not in so much detail. Some of them we do, but not many of them are repeated word for word in three gospels all around the same time in Jesus's life. Well, for me, I think the gospel writer's trying to convey something quite a lot more than the physical healing of one specific man many years ago. Do you agree? One hurdle we kind of have to get over is our thinking these days, that we've inherited down the centuries from the Greek thinking scholars. And that's the separation of physical and spiritual. As I said earlier, I don't really like this sacred secular divide. And it's something that we've inherited down the years, how we think about things. But this was not the biblical way of the Jews, of the Hebrews. They didn't think like that at all. For them, they saw the body and the soul as all part of one whole. There was no distinction. God made man in his own image, which means his spirit and flesh. Yes? And Jesus came in the flesh. And so when Jesus tells Bartimaeus that his faith has saved him, which is not, he doesn't say to Bartimaeus, you can see, does he? Like he does with in other stories. He says, your faith has saved you. He's not only talking about physical healing of his blindness. It carries a much wider and deeper dimension. This is what I think we need to focus on. As Tom Wright, Bishop Tom Wright puts it, the different dimensions of salvation were not sharply distinguished either by Jesus or the gospel writers. God's rescue of people from what we think as physical ailments on the one hand and spiritual peril on the other were thought of as different aspects of the same event. So when we read stories like this, and also often when we read Paul's letters and other New Testament writings, this is something we can be thinking about when we're reading these. And it will make a difference to how we read them. We start to read things differently if we bear that in mind. So if we look at this story in this way, we can see parallels and make connections with other passages in the Bible. What did Jesus come to do? Do you remember the passage he read the first time he taught in the synagogue? Jesus given the scroll containing a passage from the prophet Isaiah, which says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah 61. Today, Jesus said, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He came to bring light to sight to the blind. Or in other words, he came to bring light to those who walk in darkness. Bartimaeus lived his life in physical darkness, but he also lived it in spiritual darkness. And the day he met Jesus, he not only began a new life flooded with physical light so he could see the world around him. That's what light does for us. But he also received the light of life, which enabled him to see the road through life that he should travel. And I think it's no coincidence that this miracle happens to be Jesus's final miracle as he's on the way to Jerusalem. He reaches Jerusalem for the last time. His first words as he started his ministry stated that he would give sight to the blind. And his final miracle gives sight to a blind man. Members of the early church reading these gospels would have got that message. They will have understood that sight to the blind and light to those in darkness are things so much more fundamental than just physical healing. Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Well, you might think that's a bit of a strange question, isn't it? It might be, too, if you pardon the pun, blindingly obvious. But it's not the first time Jesus has done that, is it? If you remember the Pool of Siloam, the guy who'd been there for 38 years, Jesus says, do you really want to be healed? And it's a good question, isn't it, if you think about it. Jesus is asking him if he wants to leave that life of darkness behind him and walk in the light. And I don't know about you, but it's a great question he certainly asks me on a regular basis as well. We answer as readily as Bartimaeus did. He said, "Let me see again." He knew Jesus could bring light to his darkness in more ways than one. When he got up, he left his cloak on the ground to go to Jesus in the first place. That would have been the cloak he spread out to collect the money that people threw at him as he passed.